the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, sticking with communication, most of us are bombarded with emails every day, from spam to sales alerts to social media updates. It can be overwhelming, but the push for our attention is nothing new and constantly evolving. Shifra Mulqueen has been looking at the past, present and possible future of how companies communicate with customers.
I turn on my computer. I go online.
Welcome.
And my breath catches in my chest until I hear three little words.
You got mail. The wistful days of 1998, when your inbox was full of hope, to now. And the junk mail
still comes for you. If I was open up my inbox, I'm getting updates from Etsy.
Host of the For Tech's Sake podcast, Elaine Burke.
This place called the Second Best Pet Shop, which I think sells like Simpsons merchandise that I bought from maybe 10 years ago. There's an update for my language learning app that I've been ignoring it, and they're trying to give out to me and tell me I've been ignoring it.
Bonjour.
Konnichiwa.
Sometimes it's for an occasion. It's Father's Day, it's Mother's Day, it's Children's Day, it's Other Made Up Day, it's Coffee Day. They will just make up days to send you more emails about. Everything is an ask, and I think that's what feels so exhausting about it.
But how are companies getting our contact details?
We send over 300 billion emails every year. In Ireland, about 83% of our email traffic is spam. Like, so even in real life, they're now asking for your email to get a receipt sent to you. But it's not just to send you a receipt. It's to sign you up to all of their marketing emails and hook you in even further.
So many times you log onto a website, maybe for the first time even, and you're just browsing, but give us your email, you can have a 10% discount. Not only does that actually create the onus on you to create a sale in that moment, what happens there a lot of the time is your email address actually becomes part of a list that can be sold on to various third parties, and you've signaled your interest in a certain area too, and they can start to target that as well.
Whereas now we're mostly targeted with emails trying to sell, 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 businesses have always tried their best to reach as many people as possible.
So communication obviously had to be very verbal, first of all. And there's a lovely story that in the middle of the forum that town criers and advertisers started to really annoy people. And Cicero writes about how the forum was just so noisy with all these people advertising their wares and shouting and screaming. And he connects it with the growth of capitalism and people wanting to make money.
Historian Nikki Carter says one of the most popular means of getting as many customers as possible was door-to-door selling.
The door-to-door salesman has literally travelled through time. They were known as hawksters, peddlers, spivs, and they were all names that were kind of seen in a derogatory sense as well. People really didn't respect them. They were seen as being down on their luck. They didn't have enough money to have their own shop, so they travelled. There's even a record in Neolithic times. People were going from different areas, selling things, you know, tools, wooden tools. The Bible also refers to peddlers in Corinthians in the Old Testament, the Gospel of Luke. There's an actual record of Jesus sending two of his best followers to go door to door and sell Christianity. So I wonder if you could have paid by installments. In medieval times, they even used the rivers to get up and down and to travel to these places where they knew they could sell things. You had beads, you had jewellery, and as exotic as possible, spices then for cooking, medical elixirs that they thought would absolutely cure everything.
The house-to-house salesman, the measure of his success is not how many sales he makes, but how many customers he satisfies.
Then you had the man in the suit that was sometimes seen as kind of dubious. Rockefeller's father actually made his money going door-to-door selling medicine. During the war, there were nylon stockings being sold. And then it moved on to Hoover's, and then it moved on to encyclopedias.
In one of the previous lives, I was a door-to-door salesman in Australia. We sold Kirby vacuum cleaners, which sold at the time for $3,000.
Someone who knows the power of a face-to-face sale is founder of the handmade soap company, Donna Quigley.
As a door-to-door salesman, rejection was really a big part of the job. You can never take these things too personally. Sometimes you'd be going up to doors, just knocking at the door, and they'd come out and just slam the door right in your face. And I call it my college of knowledge. It really was my growing up. One of the lines I used to say was, the sale is made in your head before you go in. You decide if you're going to sell it. You had to be switched on. You couldn't go in going, oh, the cat's a bit sick, or I forgot to put the bins out this morning. You couldn't be going in thinking about that stuff. You had to go in and entertain these people and put on a show, and then obviously try to do the other stuff like sell them a vacuum cleaner. And you used to do a thing where you clean people's beds. Dead skin and dust mites go into a bed or a pillow. It's pretty grim. They were genuinely mortified. Some of them actually thought you planted the stuff in there, the dust and the dirt. I think the poor people just bought the cleaner out of shame at that stage, you know.
From door-to-door sales to letterbox drops, when did that form of selling become a thing? Nikki again.
The first record of direct mail was 1000 BC in Egypt, and it was advertising a gold reward for a slave that had run away, the very first leaflet. And then after that, at the same time, the Babylonians used to travel from place to place. They would bring a stone tablet advertising what they were going to sell. So it was kind of like leafleting, but a little bit heavier. 1440, when Johann Gutenberg invents the movable printing press, and that meant that people were now able to communicate by writing. Many historians consider the official birth of direct mail marketing to be in 1872, when Montgomery Ward launched his mail business with a one-page catalogue. And on that one page, he had 132 items, including houses. He had 3 million subscribers. They coined the phrase satisfaction guaranteed or your money back, which, of course, we still hear, you know, and that's in the late 1800s.
We're living in the attention economy, where human attention is a really valuable commodity. We're absolutely bombarded with communications and content and influences and all sorts of things. It's a tsunami of sort of attention seeking.
Dave Tallon is a marketing professor at Trinity College Dublin and founder of brand consultancy We Are Up.
The market for advertising in Ireland is around 1.4 billion. 64% of that is on digital. There's been loads of issues with ad fraud and click by bots. And in the UK, there's been a bit of a resurgence in direct mail because of that. And it still, in Ireland, has a lot of reach. 1.5 million addresses isn't to be sneezed at. A large part of the post business is direct mail. There's lots of legislation in regards to direct marketing and direct mail. You know, if a home has a no junk mail sign, unaddressed leaflets shouldn't be delivered. And that's the same with email. You know, if you've not subscribed, good advertisers tend to be much more compliant with legislative requirements and regulations and tend to be much more like a sniper rather than a mudslinger. It's not in a business's or a brand's interest to annoy people. They want to win them over, they want to get them to buy, they want to get them to use, to stay, and to love them. The problem is, repetition is a critical part of effective communication, but it's really key to get that frequency of messaging right for marketers. It's fine to send a reminder email or a renewal leaflet in the post, but you don't want to come across like a stalker and chase people around the internet for weeks on end.
But if you really don't want the love and spam from companies, Elaine Burke has found a way around it.
Just set up a separate email and use that for all of your junk. I tend to use my teenage email and I never really check it. It just exists. I won't tell you the domain, but it's Lenny Can't Skate. I was a skater girl, I guess.
She from O'Queen reporting there.